This was from hymn number 438, and the text was from Romans 14, which we read earlier. Grace be unto you, and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel text for this Sunday is from Luke 13, its beginning. Let us rise and hear it. There were present at that season, some that those told of him to be of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them. Think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. The topic for this day is very tied in with being gracious. Even as the earlier people have said, that we can be merciful and this means we can be given a right heart and right mind and proper respect. There are many people requesting this nowadays, even though today there is not such a gracious atmosphere presiding. For example, in the media, there is typically a critical attitude, and there are differing opinions that are extremely separate from each other and causing discern or groups to separate from one another. There is this tendency to show skills, and there is this tendency to look for those who are at fault so we can find wrong in one another or in others. And there are such outrageous requirements being requested. I have worked as a principal and teacher in several schools. I notice that amongst the youth there is prevailing a gracious and fair rules. Even in the most strict rules, they are meant for the best results. They are better than real restrictive rules and punishment and looking for those who are at fault. We, if we have a gracious mind, we can apply it to ourselves. When the burdens press upon us so heavily, then the Father will say, I am not any different. Someone laments over things at work and too much work. It seems sometimes no matter how we perform, our performance is not sufficient. In this case, we wish for mercy so that we desire to do our best. And being gracious and merciful has this starting point that God is gracious. Through grace, we have been able to experience it. A person wants to bring this message of grace furthermore. This is an example of astonishing events. The man called Pilate had mingled to the Galileans the blood of sacrifices. And on the other hand, the tower in Siloam had fallen and caused the death of 18 people. These comparisons bring us to the acknowledgement of rather radical events which brought forth accusations and finding fault even unto the courts in the midst of many why questions. Always these kind of events cause us to be amazed, and we wonder what happened then when Pilate defiled his hands before the blood of the holy travelers, and then those in the time of Shiloh. In the midst of violence, we cannot find real solutions, nor can we find an explanation for disasters. We have no real way to explain it. How did the Tower of Siloam fall? Or how did the two towers in New York fall? Or some terrible illness that has beset some of us and ruined our plans of the future. we must humble ourselves before such great matters and acknowledge our helplessness. Being a priest for 35 years has caused me to be more and more slow to give answers and explanations to those who, in the midst of difficulties, asking questions, why is life so difficult sometimes? Then, working amongst the youth, I have experienced that when someone has endured or encountered difficulties or suffering, what do I do to help them in this crisis? And the Gospels give advice, and they are applicable today, and they have been before and will be in the future. We heard a portion of the book of Job, and this book of Job talks very much about fault. It is a strong example of this, how we can compare Pilate and Shalom's events. And Job had to suffer in his life. Elu spake unto Job that no one must suffer without cause, for no one is righteous. Tell me then, when has a righteous caused been taken unto punishment, judgment? For the righteous shall progress, but the ungodly will perish. That if you pray to the Almighty, and if you truly are true and righteous, God will give you everything from His hand which is right. And the other man, Shofar, told Job, you know, as it has been from all time, as long as man has been on this earth, the joy of the ungodly lasts but a short time, but the joy of the righteous shall last forever. And Elihu was able to tell him, Job, that God will let you grow when you find yourself sinful and admit to them. And when Jesus was speaking, there were thousands of listeners, and certainly many of them had read the words from the book of Job and those thoughts, and turned their thoughts in that direction. For we saw how Job suffered and was pondering his guilt. We ask that did Jesus admit to or submit to the traditions? And he refers to this time when Pilate had mingled the blood of the sacrifices, and then of the 18 who perished during the fall of the Tower of Siloam. Jesus therefore posed the question and answers his own question, And the answer is emphasized in this, that they should take note and come on to repentance and turn, and as if turn their sled, like a certain boy in the confirmation said. The death caused by Pilate was no greater than the sins caused by the other Galileans. And those Galileans, who they were no greater accused than those of Jerusalem. We have no right to classify greater and lesser sinners. And in this, we notice how Paul writes to the Romans, "Are we then better than the others? In no sense. There is no one righteous, no, not one, who searches for God, for all have fallen away and become inacceptable. No one can do well, no, not one. We have no reserves to keep ourselves better than another. Neither can we press down those in fault so that they remain in hopelessness. For when we have this tendency to accuse and blame others over all of this that is wrong and what wrong they have done, and in this way, we might say, it happened just as it happened. It is comforting for us to note and acknowledge that God was gracious. Nor does He give our times according to our merits. He does not punish us for what we have done. And we do not have to seek for those who are at fault. For God's righteousness and judgment cannot be comprehended or explained by our carnal understanding, nor can we wisely try to explain when violence and tragedy has happened, nor can we say, where was God when such thing has happened. Instead, may God bring us humbly to the right and merciful, gracious Almighty God. The old-fashioned humility is what is required of us, instead of wise understanding. And we can then be comforted and supported when we are under burdens and distress. It is also necessary, this teaching, that those who have suffered tragedy or difficulties. We cannot exalt them or push them down over them that have not suffered the same. And then in this story of the gospel, we can notice this one man who received his sight at the Siloam well, according to the teachings of Christ. How it is explained that there was this man who was blind from his birth. The disciples asked Jesus, "Rabbi, who had committed sin that this man has been blind? Did he commit sin or his parents?" And Jesus answers, "No, not him nor his parents, but instead this has happened so the works of God would be revealed." In the gospel text of this Sunday, it comes to a pinnacle, when a high point, when Jesus makes note of this, that you all are subject unto destruction when you are faulty. And the falling of the tower in Siloam upon people was a terrible disaster. But even this could not go beyond that question of how one is made righteous through repentance. God speaks to us through difficulties. The happenings of Jerusalem spoke to those people, even as the tragedies of this year have spoken to us. At the same time, the goodness of God is drawing us near. Like Paul writes to the Romans, "Do you not know that the holiness of God will bring you unto repentance?" The high point of the gospel for today was this, that Jesus called people, the listeners, onto repentance and into his kingdom. Grace and the gospel, the forgiveness of sins, was being offered. This story does not relate how listeners reacted. At these services, summer services, many have reacted positively. Many have asked, "Is it possible for a sinner to believe their sins forgiven?" And to them it has been answered, "Your sins are forgiven you. In Jesus' name, blood." And in this life of faith, you have again asked for the gospel. And you have heard this gospel and been able to possess it as the greetings from heaven. Even at this moment, you have permission to believe. Do you not want to believe? And isn't it so that this moment is a good moment to turn toward God? You have permission to believe your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. May the gospel be the power and the strength and the hope, a fountain for all of these. in all of the moments of our life, whenever our pathway is running along the stony way. Amen.